You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
For the third day in a row, the Chicago Bears make another change to their offensive coaching staff. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for Bears Wire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today we're looking at the restructuring of the Bears offensive coaching staff, with John DeFilippo hired as quarterback's coach, quarterback's coach Dave Ragone promoted to passing game coordinator, and of course Bill Lazor coming in as offensive coordinator. We'll look at what these new roles mean, what are some of the bigger dynamics at play in this offensive coaching staff, and a little bit of an overview of what DeFilippo brings to Chicago. At first, it appeared Bill Lazor was just going to plug in where Mark Helfrich departed, and the Bears' offensive coaching staff would more or less move forward like last season. But Matt Nagy decided to change things up even a little bit more on Wednesday, and now it's an interesting dynamic because your quarterback's coach, Dave Ragone, seemingly gets a promotion to be passing game coordinator, which isn't the same as offensive coordinator, obviously, but is also seemingly a step up from quarterback's coach, that typically the passing and running game coordinators have a little bit of a broader role and a broader responsibility and influence on the offense. And it doesn't necessarily feel like, on the outside, that Dave Ragone has done a lot to justify a promotion, and maybe it was sort of an excuse. You know, you sort of promote him to still be able to land John DeFilippo as your quarterback's coach and not have to deal with the potentially interesting dynamic there, but I don't know that this necessarily solves it. But I don't see Ragone as a guy who's had a lot of, like, tangible success that you can point to and say, ah, yes, he's helped this quarterback here. Like, even he's a young and relatively inexperienced coach as is. You know, he got his start as an NFL coach, as actually a wide receivers coach with the Tennessee Titans in 2011, held that role for 2 years before shifting over to quarterback's coach when Dowell Loggins moved from quarterback's coach to offensive coordinator in Tennessee. And so then, of course, Ragone ends up following Dowell Loggins to Chicago with Adam Gase initially in that Bears offensive coordinator role. And then Loggins moves up and Ragone takes over as that quarterback's coach, because he had spent one season in between as a quality control coach in Washington. But really, it's only been 4 years of quarterback's coach and a couple of years of wide receivers coach, and that's the extent of Ragone's coaching experience. And in Chicago, we haven't really necessarily seen him make a huge positive impact on quarterbacks. You know, he initially started with Jay Cutler, and then we went through Matt Barkley and Brian Hoyer and eventually Mike Glennon and now Mitchell Trubisky. And yes, they got some production for a little bit of a time out of Hoyer and Barkley, but not anything really sustainable. And that same sentiment seems to apply to Mitchell Trubisky to this point, that we haven't really seen him take that step forward consistently enough that we'd like to see. Everybody is still waiting on Mitchell Trubisky's development. And that's seemingly one of the biggest criticisms of this Bears offensive coaching staff so far. And their big focus this offseason is to get the quarterback position better, because the quarterback position has not been good enough over the last few seasons. And so all of a sudden, the guy in charge of the quarterback position is getting promoted seemingly to a more important position in the offense. And it rubs me the wrong way a little bit. I don't know that it totally sends the wrong message, but it just leaves me a little bit confused about how everything's supposed to play out. Because it was reported after this season that, you know, it was Mark Helfrich, the offensive coordinator, and Harry Heastand, the offensive line coach, who were really in charge of the running game. And it was Matt Nagy working with the quarterback's coach, Dave Ragone, to help sort of solidify the passing game and coordinate that separate from the running game. So I can see where Nagy wants to make that more of his true role and bring somebody else in to work with the quarterbacks. But it just feels weird that, so now are Bill Lazor and Juan Castillo, the new offensive line coach, going to be the running game coordinators, or are they just going to run the running game? It feels weird to name someone pass game coordinator. Are they going to name someone run game coordinator? Are they just going to add it as a title to the offensive line coach at some point down the line? Or are they just going to have just a passing game coordinator? It's all sort of a mystery of how this coaching staff is all going to come together and all going to play out. It's very clear that they want to have a lot of different guys who are going to have familiarity with the quarterback position. And we really don't know whether all of these new names are going to be good fits or bad fits or how it's all going to work together. But it does just leave us wondering how it is going to fit together and whether this mixture is going to be the right one. Because solidifying this offensive coaching staff and getting the quarterback position to produce at a much higher level is really what's going to be key to this Bears team getting back to the playoffs and getting back into contention. It's hard to believe that we're already at the conference championship week. The season went by so fast, and now the playoffs are going by so fast. But you still have time to feed your fantasy football fix this playoffs with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, every throw, every catch means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. So download the DraftKings app now and use the promo code LOCKEDON. For a limited time, both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500 on your next deposit. And new users, be sure to enter that code LOCKEDON during signup, and you'll also get a free shot at over $750,000 with your first deposit. That's code LOCKEDON, and you can get a deposit bonus up to $500 only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So we'll see how the dynamic with this Bears offensive coaching staff is going to play out. But I do think adding John DeFilippo in the mix can only be a good thing. And I know he hasn't had the continued meteoric rise that many were expecting after he was sort of a hot quarterback coach candidate with the Eagles and then the hot coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings, at least initially, had some head coach interest even from the Chicago Bears when he was first circulating when they were going to hire Matt Nagy. But he's now been fired from the Vikings and fired from the Jaguars in the last 2 years and on a little bit of a downswing. And of course, when a coach is fired, you start to question a little bit of why, and it shows that he is not a perfect coach and a perfect offensive coordinator by any means, but he is still an extremely well-respected quarterbacks coach and a guy who seems to have a really strong understanding of the position and of offense. Of course, he sort of was known for his work with Nick Foles in Philadelphia and Carson Wentz as well, but then worked with Kirk Cousins in Minnesota and worked well with Gardner Minshew in Jacksonville as well. And his firing from the Jaguars was a bit of a surprise, and it sounds like the Bears had some competition to be able to add him as their quarterbacks coach, and they should be really happy to get him with his hands on Trubisky and whoever they're going to have working in that quarterback room, because he's really one of the guys in the NFL that like I would want working directly with my quarterback. I think he's a guy who, when you listen to him talk, and you listen to him break down film and really let him loose on football, you can really hear how well he understands it and also how good of a teacher he is in making what he's trying to say very clear and communicated to who he's trying to instruct it to. Here, listen to this audio of him breaking down some tape of the Philadelphia Eagles offense that he was involved with just as the quarterback's coach.
You know, Nick is such a veteran savvy guy, okay? Because and you need a lot of experience when you get down here in the red zone, okay? So a guy that knows how to throw accurately, throw on time, okay, in the spots. When we talk to our quarterbacks all the time about red zone football, we always talk about the back of the end zone's the least defended part of the field, and we want the ball face mask or higher, okay? So what we try to do is we try to give the quarterback as much information pre-snap as we can. What we're doing here is we're sending Alshon Jeffrey, okay, in motion. And Nick recognizes right now, you know, being the veteran that he is, that no one goes with Alshon. So we know it's zone coverage. So the Vikings wanted to play what we call a single safety middle zone coverage, where we know we wanted to attack the right center field and left center part of the field. And Nick knew that going into the game. So to the naked eye, this doesn't look like a big deal. But when I show it to you from the tight copy, it's just a savvy veteran move. Watch Nick's eyes, how we call steer the defender out of center field. He just steers and holds 41 right here with his eyes, just to give him enough room right now where he has a decision to make, whether he's going to bang that thing right now on Zach Ertz or throw that face mask or higher like we always talk about to Alshon Jeffrey in the back of the end zone. So average fan, they're not going to notice what we call steering the defender or holding the defender, where you do that with your eyes and your shoulders while still keeping your lower body, okay, being able to throw that ball to right center field. And it's just a crafty, you know, veteran savvy move that he has. Another unique motion that we use, and you'll see this, our fan base will see a lot of this stuff, these unique motions at our games on Sunday, giving the quarterback answers to the test. So this is a cover zero look right here. Everyone's within 11 yards of the line of scrimmage. Okay, both safeties are on the same side of the football. Those are all cover zero tells for the quarterback, which he knows how to recognize. Okay, understanding matchups is, and understanding your personnel are huge for a veteran quarterback. We have Zach Ertz up here, okay, on a safety. All right, Zach Ertz is one of the best tight ends in the National Football League. So we have him on a safety running a slant route, which is a three-step slant, which is a 45-degree angle going this way. So Nick does a great job of understanding, hey, right now I got one of my best players right here on a safety, and gives him a great chance and a great throw. Puts the ball out in front of him again, decision-making, timing, accuracy, puts the ball out in front where he can catch and run through the football. And again, if that ball's on his back pad, either he makes the play at the three-yard line or Zach doesn't score, okay? Probably both. So, again, puts the ball on his front pad and allows Zach, again, to use his God-given ability to get in the end zone. First thing we knew is a couple things. We knew the Redskins like to play what we call middle of the field open on second and long. So if there's a single safety middle here, we call that middle of the field closed. Middle of the field open means that there's two safeties. So we're calling this route for middle of the field open. So we knew on second and extra long, there was a good chance the Redskins were going to be in middle of the field open. We have three types of reads for the quarterbacks. We have pure progression reads, which are literally no matter what the coverage is, 1 to 2 to 3. We have a single high, two high reads. Literally, we're reading one side of the field if it's too high, another side of the field if it's single safety middle. And then we have what we call levels throws, okay? Levels throws is an example of this play right here. We're going to have a man high, a man in the middle, and a man low. So what you're going to see right now is Matt Collins work vertical with speed, okay, what we call a circle post. So he's going to run 15 yards, lean to the outside, and then the quarterback in a perfect world wants to throw him right on this near hash. Unless the corner's outside, then he's going to bring him down the field a little bit more. Alshon's going to get into the wake. When we say get into the wake, we mean get right into the wake of where Matt Collins is, okay, and he's going to run a 12-yard corner. The key to this play is protection, okay? Protection, protection, protection whenever you're throwing the ball down the field. So you're going to see Trey Burton chip to the flat, okay? You're going to see running back here chip to the flat. And then just in case the quarterback doesn't like the ball down the field, we're going to have Zach Ertz running what we call a 12-yard basic cross right here. So again, we talked about a levels throw. We have a man high, we have a man in the middle, and we have a man low. We saw DJ Swearinger, again, ball stayed middle of the field open. DJ Swearinger, we're reading depth, width, and hips of that safety right here. He's getting deep. He's not getting width, okay, and his hips are towards the sideline. So if we say 2 out of 3, if he's not getting deep, if his hips are to the sideline, or he's not getting any width, we're going to cut that ball loose to the deep ball right there.
Obviously, you don't get the full effect without watching the actual tape that he's talking about, but you really hear a lot of the intricacies about the different types of progressions and the different things he wants his quarterbacks looking at in terms of watching the safety, look at how far downfield he is, how close to the sideline he is, and which direction his hips are. I mean, those are all things you're reading within the 2 seconds of you snapping the ball and you deciding to throw the ball, and all the different things he expects of his quarterbacks, but he's not overloading it on them. It's all sort of key single points here and there that they have to understand. So I really think Flip can be a really effective coach for this Bears offense, for Mitchell Trubisky, and for whoever else they have in there. It's just a matter of, you know, when you have these kinds of guys with coaching quarterback backgrounds, Bill Lazor, Dave Ragone, DeFilippo, Matt Nagy, etc., this is setting up four quarterbacks, and if Mitchell Trubisky can't figure it out with these guys, you can really see where that is them going all in on that spot. But the new staff arrangement does raise some questions about, you know, too many cooks in the kitchen, and how exactly this is supposed to play out with Trubisky and all the different guys, and how it'll affect what Matt Nagy does on Sundays. We'll explore some of the different dynamics at play next on Locked On Bears. So at this point, I think the Bears' offensive coaching staff is about as filled out as it's going to get. Unless Matt Nagy decides to bring in another outside coach to call a run game coordinator, in addition to all of their other position coaches, this doesn't seem like there's much more room here to add anybody else. I mean, they could add the run game coordinator title onto one of the other position coaches as well, but for the most part, it seems like everybody's in the room that's going to be in the room. But I guess maybe we thought that after they hired Bill Lazor and in comes John DeFilippo. So I guess we can't rule out anything, especially after Brad Childress departs as senior offensive assistant. But for the most part, you look at where they stand now, and it sure feels like there's a lot. I mean, it's generally, I think, a good thing to have a lot of coaches on the sideline so you can have as much interaction directly with the players as possible. But I wonder how well Matt Nagy's going to be able to lead that, delegate responsibilities, and still, you know, be able to develop one cohesive offensive identity. Because it was a struggle last year with really fewer coaches on the coaching staff, all still with different backgrounds. And again, we're bringing in a bunch of different coaches with a bunch of different backgrounds, trying to get everybody on the same page as far as what the offense is going to look like. And so I wonder how Matt Nagy can manage that during the week if the Bears are trying to figure out their passing game. Does your passing game and your game plan discussion every week include your head coach, your offensive coordinator, your pass game coordinator, and then also your quarterback's coach, wide receiver's coach, tight ends coach? And then, if you're looking at your running game stuff, is that head coach, is that coordinator, is that running backs coach, is that offensive line coach, is Dave Ragone only there to talk about the passing game? I mean, trying to figure out the different roles and different models and whose voice matters more about the passing game, Dave Ragone or Bill Lazor? If they disagree about, we should call more play action, we should do more rollouts, Does the offensive coordinator have the say over the passing game coordinator? Does Matt Nagy weigh them equally? And if they're weighed equally, then, why does one get to be the offensive coordinator and one get to be the pass game coordinator? Shouldn't that just make Bill Lazor the quote-unquote run game coordinator and sort of put them on equal roles? Or are the titles just superfluous so Matt Nagy can get all the different guys in at different positions that they feel like they are in the right spot as far as moving up and getting the pay that they want? I mean, it's a weird mix of positions right now. I think one benefit that it might be able to do with a dedicated passing coordinator of Dave Ragone is if Ragone had to be heavily involved in coordinating the passing game this year, then maybe now John DeFilippo can be hands-off with that and just be even more hands-on with Trubisky. I mean, I don't think we got the impression that Ragone had to spend less time with Trubisky than he would have wanted to, but I don't know, maybe, or will DeFilippo have some influence too, or will the quarterback's coach and the quarterbacks really be separated from the passing game plan and just have to accept whatever Ragone and Lazor and Matt Nagy decide? And, it feels to me like Nagy is building a coaching staff where he can call the plays, but also delegate some of the game planning stuff during the week. And not that he's not going to be involved with it, but kind of let his staff handle that. It doesn't have to necessarily micromanage every aspect of it, and that he can take that into game day and call the plays to go with it while being able to do other head coaching duties during the week as far as overseeing the team and being maybe more hands-on with some other positions, and let his passing game coordinator really do some more of the coordinating, let his offensive coordinator do more of the coordinating. But if they're going to do this run game, pass game coordinator and really sort of have the similar structure from last year from the coaching staff, I guess the question is, will having different coaches in those roles make a big difference? How much of a difference does it make if it's the same sort of thing? Because like last year with Mark Helfrich, we weren't 100% sure what all an offensive coordinator does. And we sort of assumed the offensive coordinator was really involved in game planning and working on all the things during the week to get the team ready to go. But so then if the offensive coordinator is doing all that, where exactly does the passing game coordinator do? What duties are left for the passing game coordinator? Or if the passing game coordinator is going to handle all the passing game planning, what duties are left for the offensive coordinator? So we really do need Matt Nagy to explain his plan, because a lot of these guys are smart coaching minds. They're well-respected around the NFL, but they seemingly had smart coaching minds in their last year. They had successful college head coach. They had a very successful college offensive line coach. They fired both of those guys because for whatever reason, it didn't work. So will just having different smart minds of different backgrounds make the difference? Or will Matt Nagy lead them differently? Will Matt Nagy delegate the roles differently? Will he be more hands-on? Will he be left less hands-on? And does Brad Childress's departure play into that at all? I mean, there's so many different things at play here, and we don't really have a lot of answers in mid-January. We won't be hearing from Matt Nagy again for at least a little while, and publicly in terms of press conferences and questions really being answered here, but this has the potential to be a good mix of offensive coaches, but I'm just waiting to figure out and find out what will make it different other than just different brains and different bodies filling in the same roles that weren't necessarily working the way they wanted last season. So, you know, we'll be keeping a close eye on it and digging even deeper into these new Bears offensive coordinators. So make sure you subscribe to Locked On Bears to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Who knows? Maybe tomorrow we'll have our fourth straight day with a Bears offensive coaching staff edition. It's been a surprisingly newsworthy week of Chicago Bears talk, and I appreciate everyone who's tuned in and followed along. Just a programming note for you. Next week, I will be down in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl, so you can expect a pretty NFL draft-heavy week of Locked On Bears podcast, but we'll keep up if there's any kind of major Bears news as well, but otherwise expect draft prospects and an early look at some of the seniors that the Bears could be looking at in the upcoming draft. So that should be fun. Should get some good in-person guests down there doing some, not a live podcast, but recording it with a live person rather than over the phone or over Skype. So we'll have some great stuff coming for you, a little bit of a different flavor than we normally do, but we'll still, even down south, right on the Gulf of Mexico, we can still find a way to bear down.